On Friday, I was at the graveside of the Dave Langendorf funeral out at Grandview Cemetery, and we were having our committal, and as seems always appropriate with the committal, to read the verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, which tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, while we fix our eyes not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And as you look at a casket on a very cold winter day, and it just seems so dark, so cold, so final, so hopeless, what a wonderful, wonderful truth it is to believe and to understand and to engage in the reality that there is another realm. There is another realm besides the physical realm. The world that we live in has two realms. We're going to this next number of weeks here in January speak about matters that pertain to spiritual warfare. There is the natural realm, which we are very, very familiar with. Our five senses help us navigate through this natural world that we live in, this natural realm. But our world also has an invisible realm. It is the spiritual realm. And unfortunately, much of our Western culture denies that reality. However, we need to realize that this world does have two realms, and that both realms interact with one another and influence one another on a daily basis. The book of Job is one of the most pronounced biblical accounts that can help us understand this reality. In Job chapter 1 and verses 13 through 19, we read, "One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabines attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, 'The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you.'" And also, we read then Job chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. And we read, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, 'Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die.' He replied, 'You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?' In all this, Job did not sin in what he said." It's an understatement to say that Job had a bad day. Messenger after messenger came to him with terrible news. Have any one of you ever had that kind of day where it just seemed like it was one thing after another that continued to happen? Well, all of Job's material things are gone. Not only did he lose his livestock, he's his source of living, his source of income. He lost his servants. He lost his children. He even lost the support of his wife. His security and his reputation were lost. His life seemed to unravel completely. And if we looked at Job's situation simply through the lens of the natural realm, the visible realm, the physical realm, we'd tell him, well, Job, you need to get a financial advisor. You need to get a grief counselor. You need to get some antidepressants. You need to get a marital counselor, and so forth. We would try to comfort him with physical remedies, and certainly that is appropriate, being that we live in a physical realm. Though those things are not bad, but friends, that's where we'd stop. Just with that kind of help, that kind of support, if we only believed in a physical realm. But Job 1, beginning with verse 6, enhances our understanding of Job's situation. He said, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. About 7 years ago, we got rid of an old style 36-inch console screen TV that was so heavy it would have made a great boat anchor. It was one of those big console TVs, and it was with that big clunker of a TV that we subscribed for the first time to cable after moving to Champaign. But that TV had a few features at the time. Now, it's old technology, but at the time, it was called PIP, picture in picture. And picture in picture, we were able to watch two channels simultaneously. I could watch a football game and a basketball game at the very same time. This technology helps us understand the world that we live in. As believers, we need to have a frame of reference that will enable us to look through two lenses simultaneously, the physical and the spiritual. A lens that deals with the natural and physical realm, and a lens that helps us see the spiritual realm. What happened to Job was not just a coincidence. There was something going on in the invisible realm, the spiritual realm, that affected the visible, that affected the physical realm. Satan was at work. Job 1 and 2 tells us that Satan had the ability to affect Job's life. He was able to take Job's possessions. Satan is, as we read in John 10, a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Satan also affected Job's health. He affected the weather, too. Satan also affected how people regarded Job. We see this with his wife. This text teaches us that Satan roams around the earth looking for trouble. Peter has much of the same description here as we read in Job when Peter describes Satan as a roaring lion, roaring, seeking, prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. Notice, there is an interrelationship of the two realms, the physical realm and the spiritual realm. The book of Ephesians unpacks several fundamental truths for Christian living. And in this book, Paul mentions the word heavenlies or the heavenly realm at least five times. The New Testament gives detailed attention to the invisible spiritual realm, the heavenly realm. And although we make a distinction between the two realms, we need to understand that they are not isolated from each other. Instead, they overlap each other. So what does Paul mean by the heavenlies? What does he mean by the heavenly realm? Is it not a place? It's a realm. As westernized believers, it's not always easy for us to recognize and to identify what's in the heavenly realm. What is in the heavenlies? Well, certainly there are angels and demons that are in the heavenly realm. They have spiritual bodies. Also in the spiritual realm is God the Father, who is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit and truth would also be in the heavenlies. Curses and blessings and prayers engage the spiritual heavenly realm. And all these things have impact on the physical realm. Where is the heavenly realm located? It's really all around us. It's everywhere. And when you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, the Holy Spirit took His residence within us. So where is the heavenlies? The heavenly realm is even within our physical body. But we just have a way of focusing, though, on what is there with our natural eyes. That's what we are most in tune with. Remember Elisha and his servant Gehazi? Gehazi got up early one morning and he saw an opposing enemy with chariots and horses that were surrounding the city. And he panicked and he ran to the prophet Elisha. And he told Elisha that surrounding him were all of these chariots and opposing enemies. And Elisha said to Gehazi, no worries. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, and he prayed that the eyes of his servant Gehazi would be opened so that he could see into the spirit realm that Elisha was surrounded with all kinds of protection from the Lord. If we could have our eyes opened like Elisha and Gehazi, what do you think you'd see in the room right now? If you could see into the invisible realm, what would you see? You'd likely see angels and demons. You would likely see a continuous battle taking place with evil forces and powers of darkness, as well as and against the angelic forces, powers, the forces of God. We live in a world that appears to be merely physical. But there is another realm, a spiritual realm that interacts with the physical. The spiritual realm affects your life and it affects my life. It affects families. It affects marriages. It affects churches. It affects nations. You name it. So here are just a few questions we need to ask ourselves regarding our circumstances. Is this situation, this difficult situation that I'm going through or dealing with, is it just happening? Is my mood just happening? Is my strained marriage just happening? Is oppressed corporate worship due merely to weather and seasons? Does selfishness, stinginess, lying, deceiving occur for just no reason? Is a persistent lack of joy and zeal due merely to my personality, to my temperament? Is a twisted view concerning Christianity just an intellectual notion? Do wars just happen? Do famines just happen? Do financial downturns just happen? Does depression just happen? We could go on and on. And there's probably not just in that question just a simple, concrete answer. Clearly, the gift of spiritual discernment is often needed to determine what is really going on. What factors are really involved in this matter, in this situation? Certainly, there are occasions where it is simply the natural or physical realm that is involved. But I wonder if we underestimate the engagement of the spiritual realm and what is happening there. Friends, we're in a war zone and we cannot escape it. There are many people who are not doing well in the war because they don't know Jesus yet. They're giving into the world's values and systems, and they're living under Satan's rule, his influence. And the Bible says the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel would shine unto them. Some of us as Christians are not doing well in this war either, because we don't recognize that there is one world and two realms, that there's more going on in our lives than what we experience in the physical realm with our natural senses. We need to embrace the biblical worldview. From the very beginning, Satan's purpose is to direct and lead us away from Christ. That is his purpose for every believer, to lead us away from Christ, away from faith. He wants to ruin God's plan. That's why there's so much brokenness in the world. Satan wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God wants us to live in triumph. He wants us to live vibrant lives filled with hope, filled with power. We need to understand how this world operates so that we can live according to God's original design. There's a lot of activity going on in the heavenly realm. We have to be sensitized to the realm in order to combat it. Unfortunately, the Western mindset is resistant to the biblical worldview. We like what we see. We like what we can see physically. The Western mindset makes us conclude according to what can be measured empirically, what can be measured and verified factually and by observation. We need to recognize that the invisible realm is real. And it influences our lives on a completely, totally daily basis. Satan wants us to minimize the reality of existence, of his existence, so that he can have a greater freedom to do what he wants. Can you imagine a nation engaged in a war that totally ignores the use of surveillance and intelligence to identify the activity of the enemy? What if the United States chose to ignore any intelligence or surveillance in our war against ISIS or against the ruthless dictator of North Korea? What if we chose to ignore this and use no surveillance intelligence regarding Iran or Syria or any of these other areas of great concern? How could a nation like that, blind to the movements of their enemy, have a realistic chance of winning the war? Our enemy wants us to live like that. How can we combat the powers of darkness in the invisible realm? Well, I just want to introduce three ways that if you have been a follower of Christ for any time at all, any length at all, you're going to say, I've just heard this over and over again. But I trust, I pray that you can look through this with a new, fresh lens and recognize the importance of these ways to combat the powers of darkness in the invisible realm. First of all, recognize the importance of prayer. The war room. The war room is prayer. The prayer room. To the degree we recognize the reality and activity in the invisible realm will determine how earnestly we value prayer. If I don't take really much stock in the belief of spiritual opposition and spiritual resistance, then I'm most likely not going to be too involved, too passionate, too engaged in prayer. Maybe apart from a few rote prayers over dinner, but I'm not going to be engaged too much in prayer if I do not recognize and value the invisible realm and what is happening in that invisible realm. But people who earnestly see with spiritual eyes into the invisible realm, they recognize how critical prayer is. Do you believe in the power of prayer? I like the story that had been around for a while in a small Texas town. A new bar, tavern, started a building to open up their business. The local Baptist church started a campaign of petitions and prayers to block the bar from opening. Work progressed, however, right up till the week before opening, when lightning struck the bar and it burned to the ground. The church folks were rather smug in their outlook after that, till the bar owner sued the church on the grounds that the church was ultimately responsible for the demise of the building, either through direct or indirect actions or means. The church, they vehemently denied all responsibility or any connection to the building's demise in its reply to the court. And as the case made its way into the court, the judge looked over the paperwork, and at the hearing, he commented, I don't know how I'm going to decide this, but as it appears from the paperwork, we have a bar owner who believes in the power of prayer and an entire church congregation that does not. Prayer engages the spiritual realm. Prayer is a weapon of spiritual warfare. Michael and Debbie Caldwell, who are missionaries to Uruguay, were involved in planting a new church in Santa Lucia. And one early peaceful morning, Debbie just had a strong sense that her family was being prayed for at that moment and that it was important to intensify her intercession. That afternoon, Debbie hurried home to load up supplies they were needing for an outreach that they were planning, and she came home with her 16-year-old daughter, Lisa, and her 5-year-old son, John, Michael. And their house is on a rather steep hill, 25 steps up from the street level. And their 5-year-old, John Michael, waited in the car while David and Lisa, or while Debbie and Lisa made trips in and out. And as they came out with the last load and she was locking the door, Lisa, the daughter, yelled, "Mom, the car is rolling down the hill." And Michael was in the car. And she took off running after the car, and it was nearby one of the busiest streets there in the city. And the car crossed the street untouched and continued to roll down a second block. And finally, it made like a 45-degree turn into a driveway and halted in a resounding crash. And when she arrived at the scene, Lisa was cradling her brother in her arms and crying and saying, "Hey, he's okay, Mom, he's okay." He was unscathed except for a small pink spot on his forehead from the impact with the dashboard. Debbie asked her son if he was trying to drive the car. He said, "No, Mommy, a man was not. No, Mommy, I wasn't trying to drive the car. There was a man driving the car." Debbie replied, "But Michael, I could see you standing up in the car. A man was not in there." "Yes, Mommy, he was beside me, driving the car," he insisted. And then the truth hit her that the Lord probably had sent an angel to protect her son and to keep him from being afraid. Tears coursed down her face as she looked at the wrecked car. Back end was crushed, and it had narrowly missed a parked car but hit a telephone pole, bashing in the fuel tank. But no one had been hurt, and no other vehicles had been touched. And later they were told the impact of the car on the utility pole had loosened the cables, causing them to be just inches from the fuel tank. But for 2 hours, in that two-block area alone, there had been a power outage. She was overwhelmed. The Holy Spirit had inspired and directed prayer for this family at that time. When we hit our knees, we pick a fight with the enemy. We are immediately transported into the front lines of the kingdom, where we wage war with principalities and powers in the invisible realm. That is where the battle is often won or lost, in the prayer room. And when we hit our knees, God fights our battles for us. Another way we combat the powers of darkness in the invisible realm is to recognize the importance of God's word. During the duel between Christ and Satan in the wilderness, when Satan was there and tempted Christ on three different occasions, Jesus Christ three times combated the enemy with his lies and with his temptations. He combated the enemy by quoting the word of God. "It is written, it is written, it is written." Freedom from spiritual bondage is often not the result of a power encounter with demonic forces, but rather it's a truth encounter with demonic forces. Satan is a deceiver, and his primary weapon is deceit. And he will work to uncover that at all costs. When you see the descriptions of the enemy, how do you often see him? He's an angel of light. He's the father of all lies. He's a deceiver. We see all of these ways in which the enemy influences. But the truth of God's word exposes Satan and his lie. Satan's power is in the lie. And when his lie is exposed by the truth, his plans are often foiled. When growing up, I went to a farm that my cousins lived on, and they had a yappy dog that scared the bejeebers out of me. And when it came barking around the corner, when we arrived, my dad and mom just stood their ground, but I just ran. I was scared, I ran. Guess who the dog chased? I escaped to the bed of my cousin's pickup while the little dog yapped at me from the ground. Satan is like that yappy dog. deceiving people into fearing him more than God. His power is in the lie. He is the father of lies who deceives the whole world. And consequently, 1 John 5:19, the whole world is under the influence of the evil one. Satan can do nothing about your position in Christ. But if he can deceive you into believing his lies about you and God, you will spend a lot of time in the bed of the pickup truck. You don't have to outshout him. You don't have to outmuscle him to be free of his influence. You have to outtruth him. Believe, declare, and act upon the truth of God's word. I have learned from the scriptures and my experience that truth is the liberating agent. In our warfare with the evil one, truth is often the liberating agent. The power of Satan is in the lie, and the power of the believer is in knowing the truth. We are to pursue truth, not necessarily power. We're to pursue truth. Truth is most important to pursue. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That is why it's so important that we know the truth of God's word and that we take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. If I could infiltrate a church, if I could infiltrate a committee, if I could infiltrate a person undetected and deceive them into believing a lie, I could control their lives. That's exactly what Satan is attempting to do. And his lie is in the is the focus of the battle. His lie is the focus of that battle. We counter his lies with truth. And lastly, we combat the power of darkness in the invisible realm by living in the power of his spirit. In the physical and natural realm, we perceive of what is happening with our five senses: touch, taste, see, hear, smell. But some things cannot be perceived with the five senses. It needs that, if you will, that sixth sense, the Holy Spirit. When we are speaking of the invisible and spiritual realms, some things can only be addressed and conceived by the Holy Spirit. Some things cannot be figured out through reasoning. They can only be imagined by the Holy Spirit. Some things cannot be understood by logic. They can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Some things cannot be apprehended by physical strength, but rather by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help us to navigate the spirit realm just as our five senses deal with our physical realm. The Holy Spirit can help us see the invisible and hear the inaudible. But that sixth sense, the Holy Spirit, has to be cultivated much like our senses, our five senses do, so that we are able to cultivate the awareness of God's presence through His Spirit with us. The Holy Spirit is our invisible partner that dwells within, and we need to call on Him as our helper every day. To live effectively in the two realms of life, the visible and the invisible, the physical and the spiritual, the natural and the supernatural, we need to depend upon the life-giving help of the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to guide us, to comfort us, to sustain us, to heal us, to deliver us. We need the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us transcend human limitations. It is the Holy Spirit that brings change and transformed lives. As the disciples were filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it simply changed the way they lived. And God has provided everything we need to live our lives in both realms. He gives us the divine power through His Spirit that tears down strongholds. And the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is necessary for effective living in both realms of life. Oh, that we would pray for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We would pray to be filled with the Spirit. We pray to be empowered by His Spirit. We need God's Spirit to help counter the works of darkness. There will be times, perhaps a challenging situation at work, a relational situation, or a ministry situation, when we need to be filled in an extraordinary way so that God can do His work. And we see that happening in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4, John and Peter were given special power to counter and to address the spiritual leaders that were opposing them. And after that, the Christians asked God to continue performing supernatural works in order to defend the proclamation of the gospel. Immediately after they prayed, God filled them with the Holy Spirit. And there are times in life when we need that kind of empowerment, when we need to encounter ministry situations. We need to depend upon God's power and the infilling of His Spirit. There are also times when we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit to be encouraged and to be refreshed. We need His Spirit. We need to depend upon His Spirit. I just hope that you haven't just written off these three because you've heard them over and over again. Prayer, the Word, the Holy Spirit. Friends, there's something there. There's something there, and we need, because we live in two realms, we need to access all that is available to combat that which is opposing us in the spiritual realm. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, I pray that You would help us as a church in 2018 to be more spiritual discerning, to be more spiritually discerning. We would be able to discern in a better and in a greater way what the forces in the invisible realm are doing, how they are involved in our situations. Help us to live the way You would have us to live in these two realms at the same time. Lord, forgive me for just thinking about a physical answer to an issue, a question, a concern that I have, without giving thought more to how this might be influenced in this spiritual realm. Lord, I just ask You to empower Your people, strengthen Your people. Help us, Lord. Help us to be in the war room this year. War room, combating those invisible forces and seeing victory, seeing triumph in spirit and in faith and in intangible situations, because, Lord God, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. Pray Your divine help for Your church today. Here and you're desiring prayer, you're needing someone to pray with you, I just want to encourage you to come forward and allow someone to pray with you about your need. And I pray every one of us will leave here with a heart for prayer and a heart for His Word, a heart for dependence upon His Spirit. God bless you as you pursue Him as we leave together. Let's encourage one another in the faith. God bless you. Happy New Year.
Overflowing.